Okay, I'll be reading from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with the child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I'm reading Luke 2, 1 through 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the gift of your Son. And I pray, Lord, that as we enter this season of Advent, of this anticipation of Christmas, that you would make us intensely aware of the love and the sacrifice of the emptying that took for the incarnation to happen. The wondrous gift that we cannot even comprehend. All because you love us. Help us to have a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of worship, and a heart of obedience as we study and hear and focus on your story this season. In Jesus' name, amen. As a child, I was a part of a nativity play. Did any of you participate in like a live nativity play, a children's nativity? And I was very excited. We were all in the church basement, and they were handing out costumes and they were handing out parts. And this was it. I was ready. I was ready to be anything. You know, the wise men, the shepherds, Joseph, and we start handing out parts. My little sister Mackenzie gets to be the angel. That's wonderful. We get to the shepherds. My name's not called. I go, it's okay. It's okay. We still have wise men, at least three. We still have Joseph. Joseph gets picked, not me. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. We still have wise men. There's still a chance. The wise men get picked, not me. They walk up to me and they say, Derek, this Christmas nativity, you are going to be the donkey. It's not funny. The donkey. I was crushed. And I'm ashamed to admit this, but as a five-year-old, I sat in mom's car and cried and wept. I didn't want to be the donkey. In fact, that's one of our Christmas catchphrases that has survived. I don't want to be the donkey is what I repeated over and over. And I can understand this. I didn't want to be this character right here. I wanted to be one of the main characters. I wanted to be the shepherd or the wise men or Joseph. I wanted to be the special characters in the front and center of the play. But as I kind of reflect on the nativity story, I realize now none of these characters are particularly special. This nativity scene is not particularly special in any way. In fact, I wanted to be these characters in the play. Today, I don't think I would want to be one of these characters in real life. There is nothing unique or wonderful or special about this. In fact, this is not the scene you would create if you were trying to imagine God becoming flesh, God incarnate, the God-man coming down and breaking into our world. This is not the scene you'd create. This is a plain, ordinary scene that is not special in any way. Yet Christ chose to dwell here. And that makes all the difference. Think about this. Mary and Joseph. Who is Jesus born to? Not a Jewish king or queen, but a teenage couple from the backwoods of Galilee. And if you've heard in Scripture, can anything good come from Nazareth? How many of you grew up in a small town? Did you have a rivalry in your small town, another town that you hated, you played in sports? I did in my town. Douglas, Kansas was our rival. I grew up in Leon. Anyone from Douglas here? Good. As a Christian, as a high schooler, I was a good Christian. I used to pray for Douglas, and I'd say, Lord, I pray that someday they would discover soap. Lord, I pray that someday, God willing, they'd learn how to read. I would pray these things. We hated Douglas. And Nazareth was this way, this backwoods outpost filled with kind of a mixture of pagans and Jewish people, artisans crafting Herod Antipas' new cities up there. There was nothing special about Nazareth. And the couple was not special. They were a teenage couple. He was a craftsman, an artisan. They're barely scraping a living together. And I know the theology majors are maybe thinking, well, look, they had the lineage of King David. They have royal lineage. What good has that done them? Imagine if you were walking home from chapel and a man comes out of one of these rundown homes, if they happen to be there, and he runs out and he screams, I'm related to the Queen of England. What would you do besides, you know, okay, you have no reason to doubt him, but what good has it done him? They were the royal lineage, but what good has it done him? They were a poor, barely above starving, one of the mass of the poverty-stricken people of that area. There was nothing special about them. Not only that, they weren't trusted by their community. Everyone assumed that they had had premarital sex and that she was pregnant. They were probably cast out of the synagogue because of this. Not only that, they probably viewed Mary as a liar. Yes, you fooled around with your boyfriend, you're pregnant now. Don't blame it on God. Don't say the Holy Spirit got me pregnant. That's just ridiculous. So you have this poor, poverty-stricken couple who are both untrusted and marginalized in their community. There was nothing special about them, yet Christ chose to dwell among them. And that made all the difference. Think about the place where Jesus was born, Bethlehem. Jesus could have been born in Rome, a city of over 1 million at the time, beautiful marble buildings based on seven hills. He could have been born in Jerusalem, a city of about 100,000, with a temple that said gleamed in the sun. Instead, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a town of a few hundred, just a small village. In fact, what makes this contrast so complete is that Bethlehem is only about 5 miles away from Jerusalem. It's almost over the hill. If you're kind of standing where the site of the traditional nativity is, it's almost just over the hill you can see Jerusalem. In fact, if you were walking there and you said, let's go see the new Son of God, where do you think he's at? You would never choose Bethlehem. You would choose the walled city set on the mountain, Zion, the city of David. You would never choose Bethlehem. There's nothing special about it. Yet Christ chose to dwell there. And that made all the difference. Think about the witnesses to the incarnation. Shepherds. Shepherds. Of all the people, it wasn't a gathering of priests recording, praising, praying for this event. It wasn't a group of scribes recording this for posterity. It was a group of shepherds. You have to understand, shepherds, while valuable, were economically one step above homeless and socially one step above a felon. You were happy to have shepherds to watch your sheep, but you didn't want them hanging around your town. They were sometimes not the most trustworthy group of people. Yet these were the people who got to see Jesus. I mean, if you put it in today's terms, Jesus' birth should have been on CNN, Fox News, paparazzi should have been there, should have been filmed in IMAX to be played in every theater. Instead, you have a group of guys recording it on a cell phone. A flip phone, if that. Not even a good cell phone. There was nothing special about these witnesses. Yet Christ chose to dwell there. You think about where Christ was born. He could have been born in one of the palaces in Rome, surrounded by physicians and midwives. He could have been born in the comfort of the Herodian palace. Instead, it said that he was born and laid in a manger, most likely in a stable, because there was no room at the guest room of a house. So either they had to go to a stable somewhere carved out of a rock face out of a hill, or more likely it's one of these rooms where they kept the animals underneath a residence. Dirty, filthy, unsanitary, hay animals. There is nothing special about that place. Yet Christ chose to dwell there. And then really to top it off, you have these wise men in the traditional nativity. And what a piece of work these wise men are. Guess what? They're late to the nativity. About 2 years. So if this was a traditional nativity, they'd probably be over here, kind of wandering around. It says it took around 2 years for them to get there. But guess what? When they get there, you know who celebrates Christ's birth? Pagan astrologers, most likely from Persia. So if you love alliteration, you have pagan Persian astrologers, sorcerers, magicians, priests of a foreign religion. All the things that the Jewish religion, the Torah says, are wrong, bad, awful. The people who come celebrate Christ's birth are the very people who don't even belong to the Jewish faith. The people we would declare heretics or witches or warlocks, people who wouldn't be fit to step foot in a church. There was nothing special about these wise men. Yet Christ chose to dwell among them. What happens? What transforms this misfit group of people in this dirty, dark place? What transforms it to the magic and the mystery and the wonder and the joy and the hope of Christmas? It is Christ dwelling among them. And that makes all the difference. What does the nativity story teach us? There are some of you who are hurting. There are some of you who are broken. There are some of you who came from a bad home life. There are some of you who came from poverty. There are some of you who are struggling with addictions, with pain, with sin, with hopelessness. There is nothing special about you. Yet Christ chose to dwell among you and in you. That makes all the difference. What changes a broken, sinful creature into a new creation, into a temple of the Holy Spirit, into a priest of the new covenant, into the magic and the mystery and the wonder and the hope and the joy of Christ-likeness? It is Christ choosing to dwell in you. If the Nativity story teaches us anything, it teaches us this. We are not special, but Christ is, and he chooses to dwell among us, and that makes all the difference. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for those who feel unworthy. I pray for those who feel hopeless. I pray for those who feel helpless. I pray, Lord, that you would help them feel your presence of Emmanuel, God with us. And that it's not about being good enough. It's about recognizing and receiving the grace of God, receiving the new creation renewed daily, the presence of Christ within us. Father, I pray that we would be that light, that we would embrace in every part of our life Christ, that we can go proclaim to the world the good news that God is with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feel free to sit and worship or listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Feel free to think about the Holy Spirit of God who abandons his home of divinity and comes and dwells in the broken temple that we are. Feel free to stand and worship. Feel free to kneel. Feel free to lay on your face and worship.